Welcome to the Dürr conference call. Ralf Dieter, CEO, and Ralf Heuwing, CFO of Dürr AG, will present the Dürr Group's figures for the first quarter 2015, followed by a Q&A session. I will now hand over to Mr. Dieter, CEO of Dürr AG.
Yeah, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. First of all, here in Hannover in this auditorium, and also to those of you who are joining us by the telephone. We're here today in Hannover because we are here on the Lignar trade show, which is the largest trade show for the wood machinery and woodworking industry, where HOMAG is presenting all his portfolio, and we are happy that you have made the way up to here to have a personal view on that. Ralf Heuwing myself will guide you through our first quarter, and as always, I would like to start with some highlights. First of all, the strong performance in sales and in incoming orders, which was plus 14, respectively plus 9% on a like-for-like basis, was in our expectation and to our satisfaction. The EBIT margin, which includes the so-called purchase price allocation effects, was 5.6%, and the net financial status, we ended up in the first quarter with 220 million, comparable to 168 million in December 2014. For the further figures and report, we have to mention that we have in all the slides, we have the comparison between first quarter 2015 and 2014, but 2014 was without HOMAG. And here on this chart, page number 3, only the first line where we compare the performance in sales and order intake is measured like we would have had HOMAG already in the first quarter 2014, but all the other numbers are not compared to that. On page number 4, I just see that that the pages have changed, so I have to talk about page number 5 now. There's a summary again. With the acquisition of HOMAG, we have reached a different kind of size of our company. So the first quarter, we had a 900 million order intake and 850 million of sales. And we are very happy to have a record backlog of orders on hand, which summed up now to 2.9 million, which gives us a very good perspective for the sales and utilization for the next for this year, and definitely also up to the year 2016. On the next page, number, that's now 6, yeah? Is that correct? No, it's 5. Also, page number 5, that's the page with the major regions of our business. You can, you know this picture from the past, and it shows the order intake development in the regions. It's again difficult to compare because now they contain also the HOMAG figures from the first quarter, but I would like to comment on that. First of all, China, you see here with minus 10%, that China started slightly below 2014 or below 2014 level, but the pipeline we have will give us a good quarter 2 and 3 in China. So as you always know, as we always mention, a quarter doesn't give really a picture of the business. Just to explain that. The business in China and HOMAG was to the normal level good. America was strong growth in HOMAG and in also Dürr business. The order entry in U.S. and Mexico was, let's say, had a very strong increase of 72%. And also Germany and Europe had strong increases, which is partially due to the HOMAG additional order intake, but also to good order intake on the Dürr side. On the next page, number 6, we have here the major numbers on the gross profit on sales, which was up 56 or nearly 57%. The EBIT was 47.4 million in the first quarter compared to 44.2 in the first quarter 2014. But before the PPA costs, comparable EBIT would have been 58.9 million for the group. The net income, which was 17 million compared to 29 million, Ralf Heuwing will explain you more in detail, and I would like to hand over to you, Ralf.
Yeah, thank you. As you know, in the extraordinary shareholder meeting, we agreed to the domination agreement and the profit and loss transfer agreement. And this, in the IFRS code, actually means that all shares are calculated as if they were owned by Dürr, because all outstanding shareholders actually have a put option. They can sell their shares without our doing to Dürr, and therefore those shares are, those minorities have been booked out, and instead of that we now have a liability that basically says that we as Dürr need to first of all assume those shares, and second of all we also for the next 5 years have to pay the guaranteed dividend which was agreed to in the shareholder meeting. And this effect has partially an impact on our balance sheet and partially also on our profit and loss statement. And the guaranteed dividends will from now on be shown as interest expense, no more as a line after the net income. And then also these are expenses which are not tax deductible, and so therefore our tax rate has increased in this quarter to 53%. On top of that, we also used the background of this domination agreement to terminate our syndicated loan at the level of HOMAG with the banks of HOMAG, and replace the syndicated loan with an intercompany financing between HOMAG and Dürr, which of course for the entire group will save interest expenses going forward. But while doing that, we had to also book the accrued amount for the structuring of the syndicated loan. So this means, in other words, the majority of all purchase-related impact, purchase price allocation, the impact of the domination and profit and loss agreement, as well as the termination of the syndicated loan, have all been booked in Q1, and there will only be smaller impact in the next quarters. Let's turn to the next page on our cash flow. I'd like to point out that the operating cash flow stayed basically at the same level, even though we had a significant increase in business volume and also an according increase in net working capital. And we benefited, as far as free cash flow is concerned, or rather change in net financial status, from translation effects that came from the big currency swings that we saw over the last year. On the next page, which is page 8, as always, we are explaining the financing situation of the Dürr Group. And it's important to highlight that we continue to enjoy a very high level of prepayment overhang. At this point, after the first quarter, we are talking about 289 million euros of net prepayment overhang, which, of course, over the next quarters will reduce and normalize as we continue to execute the orders that are behind those. Page 9 shows that we continue to enjoy a solid financial situation. Our equity shows the or reflects the impact of the phenomenon that I just explained, that the minorities have been booked out and replaced by liabilities. Our equity ratio nevertheless stays above 20% and will over the next quarters grow again. And we expect that this equity ratio will achieve the 25% level again by the end of this year. I would also like to point out that ROCE again achieved a very high figure of 40% plus, despite the inclusion of the HOMAG Group, which, as you know, has a smaller return on capital employed as yet. I'll hand back to Ralf Dieter for the discussion of the divisions.
Thank you, Ralf. And let's talk about our divisions. Paint and Assembly Systems had a strong order increase in the first quarter compared to last year first quarter of 10%. And those orders came from basically all regions, from the U.S., as I mentioned already, up to Europe and also in China. The sales revenue was growing by nearly 20%. And this is a fact what we already said last year, that it's now the delayed orders are now coming to execution, and we are now picking up in the sales
let's call it speed. The eBay IT with 23.1 million is also 10% more than last year, but a little bit less in terms of increase than the sales, so the gross margin was a little bit less, and this is due to one effect, just to explain. Last year we got a big order where we were, let's say, forced by our customer to also provide the building for this paint shop, and this was about a 100 million building, which is now coming to execution this year, basically started already. And such a building has zero cross margin. It's basically a pass-through item. And therefore, we have here, let's say, a very small, but let's say a dip on the cross margin. But this is due to that fact mainly, or exclusively. Application technology had a very stable development, incoming orders more or less the same level than last year, slightly increase in sales, and the EBIT with 13 million is also 2% up to compared to last year. We're still carrying in this division the startup cost, and also this year we have startup costs for our industrial product business, which has started basically in the first quarter slowly. It's a faster long-term investment, but with a high margin potential. But as I said, also last year, we still have here startup costs to carry and to swallow. On the measuring process system side, we had a really strong increase in incoming orders, which was very positive. The sales side also picked up 6.4%, and the EBIT of 12.5 million also goes along with the sales increase. We see here a very good margin situation on balancing as well in cleaning, and we also saw in this division a very strong increase of service due to the increase of our installed base every day. And for the Clean Technology Systems division, I would hand over to Ralf again.
Yeah, Clean Technology Systems is witnessing a pretty significant shift in demand structure. It has suffered somewhat from a slow beginning in Europe, a slow economy right now in Europe, but we are expecting significant business in the U.S. and in China, where we also are in the process of building resources. Our full-year expectations are unchanged, that we will grow by 10 to 15%, both in terms of order intake and revenues, but due to these effects, we are witnessing a slow start in the first quarter, which also has impacted EBIT. In the Woodworking Machinery and Systems division, both order intake and revenues have developed quite strongly. Order intake going up by 9%, revenues by 14%. These are very positive figures, also compared with our full year guidance. And the EBIT before PPA effects would have been 11.5 million euros, and after PPA effects, 0.9 million euros. On those 11.5 million euros would have been 4.9% margin, which is already above last year's EBIT margin. So I would say good start into the new year. And if you multiply those figures for order intake or revenue by four, we would obviously already end up beyond the 1 billion mark. But of course, due to those strong currency fluctuations, this is not certain yet.
Okay, let's talk about our service business. Already last year we reported a very strong and nice increase of our margin-heavy service business to new record levels, and this trend is continuing in the first quarter. With a growth of 20% when I compare Dürr 2014 first quarter and only Dürr first quarter 2014. Even without HOMAG, we had a growth of 20%, and now with HOMAG, we have another service business. And on top of that, which ended up now to 213 million in the first quarter. And that's already 25% of group sales. And you remember, this was always our goal to have a service business 25% of our total turnover. The HOMAG service margins are more or less on the same level like the Dürr ones, to answer this question, which comes maybe later already here. As I said, the install base is growing every day, so we expect this business nicely to grow also during this year. So on the next page, which is now page number 16, we, as always, give you an overview of what has happened in the first quarter in our in this case the automotive business, respectively passenger cars, as an indicator for the overall business situation. And although you read newspapers about China every day, still the business was up 11%. And again, to remind you, it's 11% of nearly 20 million unit production. So this is enormous figures, yeah. And even if it be only 5% or 3%, it would be still a large increase in absolute terms. And for us, absolute numbers are the ones who are driving new investments in factories and not growth rates. Also, Western Europe is surprisingly strong. And Germany as well, USA, you can see this country. So, and we saw this also in the development of our discussions with our customers about future investments. So we see still the trend that things are going on. So that's for the first quarter. And for the years to come, as always, this chart here, the latest update, we still see a strong growth here for the years to come, more than 6%. And I think that's a positive outlook if the world is not changing, which is not from us, which is from experts who are studying this market every day. So this also here for us means that we can be optimistic about the further development. On the next page, number 18, I would like to comment again on our outlook, which is unchanged. And I would like just to remind you on that. We are planning to have or expecting, if things are not totally changing, that sales will be between 3.4 and 3.5 billion euro by end of this year. The incoming order level, which is more difficult to forecast, as you can imagine, one or two projects can make a big change in the number, is 3.2 to 3.5 billion. And the EBIT margin for the group, we expect to be 7.0 and 7.5% to be at year end 2015, so we are basically confirming the guidance. Finally, before we come to your questions, we would like to summarize. So for the first quarter, we saw a strong underlying growth and in order income and sales and confirming our expectations. The earnings development was also in our expectations. We have a very good and still good cash flow despite even the increase, in relatively small increase in net working capital. And we also have to understand that a lot of different special effects, and Ralf mentioned them, and in the first quarter have basically affected our profit and loss situation. But this will normalize in the quarters to come, and maybe Ralf will explain you later what you can expect here. So we say 2015, we have to swallow these effects. It's a year of transition in that perspective. And in 2016, this effect will go down dramatically or quite significantly, so we get back to normal numbers. Okay, so that was for us the introduction and overview, and I would like to open or hand back to Mrs. Parvis for questions. And how we do this with the room and with first the room. Okay, I just got here the guidance. First the room can ask questions. That's the benefit of traveling to Hannover. And then if all questions are done, then we go to the ones who are joining us by phone today. Okay, and also the one who wants to ask questions, please press the button on your microphone, because then also the people on the phone can hear you. First question. Oh, yeah.
Yes, hi, it's Sven from UBS. Three questions from my side. The first one is on the one-off cost that you're going to have this year above the EBIT line. I was just wondering if you could confirm that PPA will be 17.5 and the focus cost 10 million, and that all of these costs will be also allocated to the wood machinery segment. The second question is, you mentioned this 100 million building costs that was weighing a bit on the margins. I was just wondering how much of that 100 million did you book in the first quarter, and do you have more of such contracts in the backlog? And the last question is just on HOMAG, if you could just specify the currency impact on the sales and EBIT line in Q1. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Weyer. First of all, that's the only contract where we have a building, because normally, well, I have to correct. It's usual in the U.S. to have buildings in a turnkey contract. We had this also last year. But for them, it's part of the whole, let's call it deal. This was a special case where the customer asked us, due to our local competence with all the legal requirements, to have the building in our, let's say, in our contract, although the customer was basically managing a good part of it. That's a special situation. And roughly 20-25% of that has been swallowed in the first quarter. It will go to Q2 and Q3, and then we should get rid of that.
Yeah, two other questions. On the one-off cost above EBIT, yes, I can confirm that we will recognize 17.5 million euros of PPA effects, out of which 11.5 have already been recognized in the first quarter. So it will be 2 million per quarter for the next three quarters. As far as the extraordinary items regarding focus are concerned, our statement is up to 10 million is our expectation. There may be different items which have not been fully specified yet, but we want to prepare the market that may be an impact of up to 10 million we would expect. As far as the currency impact is concerned on the WMS division, on the order level, we estimate it to be about 5%. On the sales level, about 7%, and on the earnings level, about 10%. However, it has to be noted that due to hedging, there are also time delays between the actual effect and when it shows up into our balance sheet.
Just one follow-up question, if I may. The one-off cost that you... Is that all to the HOMAC segment? And... all part of your is already included in the margin guidance for the group?
Yes, both is correct.
Thank you.
So do we have other questions here in the room? If not for the moment, then we can... Mr. Remet.
Maybe two quick questions. First of all, HOMAC, the strong margin increase, is this a level we should expect this... trend line, I would say, for the rest of the year, also this upward trend, and are there any special reasons behind, or is this just the effects out from reorganization in the past years? We saw now better margins before PPA. The second question is regarding your market chart. I was wondering that Asia, in respect of this chart, seems to be the weakest of all the markets, and as I remember it correct, Asia without China was always one of the markets you said in the past, Indonesia and Malaysia, this should be the market with the next boom we can expect. So has your view also changed, or this is just the view of PwC?
Are you talking about our order intake in this region, or are you talking about this chart here? What is this? Yeah, yeah. Okay. First of all, this year is including Japan, and Japan is a quite, not only stable, but maybe decreasing market. And Indonesia and Thailand, so basically Southeast Asia, this is a growth market, not at the moment, to be fair, because there have been a lot of investments by the Japanese OEMs in the last years. They have not had a strong growth. It's more for the future, but this future is not next quarter, maybe also not next year. This will take some time, but it's for the future a potential market, then maybe the next 5 years, to pass the next wave of investments coming there. But at the moment, they're quite saturated with investments have been made in the last 3-4 years there.
Mr. Lehmann, on your other question regarding HOMAC, a margin increase, the impact is, I would say, twofold. There is, of course, the impact of having done homework in the past. Some of the loss-making entities are profitable now. The other impact is, of course, also volume-related. The upswing of revenues shows up then also in the bottom line. And your question about whether this margin increase is also setting the trend for the future, yes, we expect that we will have a positive margin trend over the course of this year, also due to volume impact, and that also the guidance that has been put out for HOMAC at the HOMAC level
will be confirmed, or if it has been confirmed.
Good. Yeah, Mr. Rau?
Maybe two follow-up questions. First of all, could you specify a little bit on the development of industrial products in the first quarter and what your expectations going forward, that means for 2015, are? And secondly, more general one, so in cleaning, you have been restructuring and reorganizing a lot in recent years. Should we expect that this process now is finished, or is there more to come? Thank you.
Second question first, the cleaning or eco-clean business, the restructuring is done, has been finalized last year, but with the sales of the French operation, it's picking up in the margins, you can say quarter by quarter, and we are very satisfied with the situation we have there. There's still some potential already to go further up, because the U.S. is a little bit slow in that perspective, because we restructured all of the U.S. business. We basically downsized it dramatically, which is on the sales decrease in the last year and order intake decrease, but we are now in the healthy business, concentrating on our washer business, and we have stopped this automation business, which had not much to do with our core business. So we are very optimistic and very satisfied with this development. Industrial products, we have a lot of industrial products. We talk about the division application technology. That just started, to be honest. Yeah, we have just started the first deals. They are not worthwhile in numbers to talk here about. So for the year, and this is maybe the background of your question, you have to expect that the costs for setting up this business will not be compensated by the EBIT, which will come out of this business. We have to wait for 16, 17. Thank you. Further questions? Fantastic. And you're also one, don't forget you, yeah.
Okay, my first question is, you were talking about smaller impacts in the upcoming quarters regarding one-offs. Is there more to expect below the EBIT line? It is financial result and tax. Then your higher prepayments seem to be very stable in recent quarters. So may this be an indicator for the very good demand of the market? And if we see a decline, could this indicate that the market is becoming weaker from a demand perspective? Then if you take your order intake by 4, you're above your guidance, and despite one or two orders that could be delayed, can you give us some light on your view how realistic your guidance is on the downside? And FX, could you give us an indication for the rest of the group, not HOMAG? And finally, maybe an indication roughly how the seasonality of HOMAG is regarding sales and EBIT.
Okay, many questions, Mr. Tertschik, and I like the one I like most about the guidance. You know, since years now, that we are not changing our guidance in the first quarter. We have a guidance which we confirm. By multiplying the first quarter, you can have minimum the idea. Let's see. Yeah, we like to increase the guidance when we have very good visibility that it's time to do it. At the moment, it's the first quarter. Let's see how it goes, and I think we will talk about that then after summer, how things are developing. But we feel confident for the guidance to get there, and I think you know how to interpret that from us in the last years. For the prepayments, that's a very good point. I think the prepayments are just, I think it's not so much a function of whether the business goes down or up. It's more a function of the healthiness in terms of cash of our customers. Yeah, because the prepayment in percentage is also a function about discount. Yeah? The more you want, the more you have to give a discount, which goes against the margin, and so we are balancing that. And at the moment, the prepayment behavior has not changed, so I think it's an indicator that the market is stable. I would not use that as an indicator for the market goes down when it would be less. It depends sometimes. Sometimes you have customers who have really too much cash for whatever reasons, and they want to invest that into a prepayment. Yeah? And we had those cases where somebody said 60% prepayment, and then you suddenly get 100 million in the bank. Yeah? The highest prepayment we got was 160 million in one go. So not the highest. In history, we're more, but it's not an indicator.
Yeah, I might just add on this. The prepayments reflect the orders in our books right now, and customer by customer, there are different prepayment levels. And so as we work through the book, these levels change. So this is also a question of the mix of orders which are just under execution. Now your question regarding financial results and tax. Well, I can confirm that Q1 carries the majority of those impacts. Q2, 3, and 4 have only minor impacts. Of course, we are going to book the guaranteed dividend as interest for 2015, and of course this will be done quarter by quarter. But the tax rate we expect to come back to 30% for the remaining three quarters, and there should no be other surprises, except that of course the benefit of the internalization of funding at HOMAG will accrue from the moment that we have installed this intercompany finance and financing, and this will be 3 weeks from now. Decisions have already been taken, so that's why we have booked it in the first quarter, but the implementation is end of May. Then the question of seasonality of HOMAG. Well, HOMAG says usually Q1 and Q2 shows an extraordinary level of order intake, and Q3 and Q4 show an extraordinary level of revenues, so there is some seasonality in the business. And if you look at the numbers right now, there's a strong book-to-bill in the first quarter. We expect that this may change then towards Q3 and Q4, as we had already seen in past years. And the FX impact, I have to correct myself from the earlier statement. The impact on order intake, sales, and earnings, those 5, 7, and 10%, those were figures which were mentioned for the home, for the group in total.
Okay, further questions here in the room? Yes, from...
Yes, Sean, HSBC. Just a clarification on this tax issue. I'm not sure if I understood it correctly. This guaranteed dividend, I think you said it's not tax deductible, so that's why the tax rate was pushed up in Q1. What will happen then in 2016, for example? Will there be also then a quarter when this occurs that the tax rate will be pushed up and on average we will be above the 30%, or is 30% really the new normal we should also pencil in for 2016 and following? Thanks.
Yeah. To install the domination and profit and loss statement comes with a one-time effect in Q1. And from then onwards, Q2, 3, 4, and next year, the total amount in euro of guaranteed dividend will be recognized as interest. It's actually a little bit more complicated, because what happens is, as we pay out that dividend, there's a cash outflow, but we already then recognize one additional year in this five-year term. Yeah? And so it is actually the time value of those guaranteed dividends which are added in year 6, in year 7, in year 8. But this will be accrued for every quarter, so you have a constant recognition of this guaranteed dividend in the future. So no one-time effects in any quarters.
Okay, more questions from the room? That's not the case. We maybe switch to the phone and then come back to the room. So, Mrs. Pavis, we can ask now people on the phone.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen on the telephone conference, if you want to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad now. One moment, please, for the first question.
Okay.
There are no questions at the
moment.
No
questions. Good. Then that shows that we have already answered a lot. Thank you. I go back to the room. Mr. Loret.
Yeah. If you could give us maybe a quick update on your M&A pipeline, is there something interesting there, or are you only focusing on HOMAG for the time to go? M&A.
No. We are focusing on HOMAG now, as we stated. Yeah? We have no M&A pipeline.
Yeah. OK.
Peter Rothenberg from Baader Bank. Can you please comment on your prospect for application technology? I've seen in the chart that you're expecting an increase in the upcoming quarter. What was the reason for only stable order intake and sales in the first quarter, and which are particularly the projects you're benefiting from? Yeah.
For the application technology, the first quarter was on the same level like last year, which was a good level. And we have two effects here. We have, first of all, it's combined with the paint shop turnkey business, and there we have a good pipeline ahead of us. And second, there's a lot of revamp business out there. So from the order pipeline, we are very optimistic for this year, which we also last year. It's on a very high level, like last year. But don't expect 10-15% growth. It's already on a high level. This is a problem when you have reached a high level to explain why.
Yeah, but on the other side, application technology should be the business where you should expect the strongest growth in sales from replacement of paint robots, etc.
Yeah, but it's also the division where we have the highest market share. And in some customers, close to 90% and 100%. So that's also a limitation, as we already mentioned. Further questions in the room? Yes?
Just a short question on your service business. It has gone up quite well in the first quarter. Now I think HOMAG has a lower share of service revenues compared to overall sales. I think in the past, before the HOMAG acquisition, you envisaged 30% service revenues in terms of sales. What is your new target, and maybe also the corresponding timeline?
Our long-term target of 30%, we also apply to HOMAG because we see that possible. So this is a potential. Yeah, to speak frankly here. Is that answering your question?
Yes.
Great. Thank you. Another one. Not the case. Another one on the phone. Last try, Mrs. Davis.
No questions on the phone at the moment.
That's fine with us. Then I would first of all thank you all for joining us today for this conference call. And the one on the phones, have a good, some of the things in the U.S., so have a good morning, and to some of them a good afternoon. And thank you very much for joining, and we see you again after our second quarter, and we continue here in the room. Thank you. Ms. Pavis, you can close now.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may now disconnect.